May 5th, 2016. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro show here in my pad, Brother Matt indisposed. Next time I ain't man alone, though. I got Ruben from the Freaks.
Here I am.
And in fact, we just heard There's No Turning Back Now from the new album. Well, it ain't out yet, right?
It's just coming. Not out yet. No
So you get a preview,
a little prelude
and prelude before Freaks and There's No Turning Back Now. We had two bass hit live version from John Coltrane when he's playing with Miles Davis the first time.
Nice.
Earliest music memory.
Get Smart.
TV.
Yeah.
So that song.
Oh.
Da-da-da.
Yeah. It was always a killer song, man.
Yeah. That was important in those days, huh?
Yeah, I think
so,
man. Yeah.
That could relate to the show. So you're watching TV and you remember that. How old?
First musical stuff. I mean, my parents were always kind of, you know.
So there's music in the house.
There's music in the house, you know, but tight Latino family, so there was always parties going on.
Okay.
You know, so
did
it was always
dancing.
Do people
play in the family?
They try.
Okay. Mom,
right.
Pop,
my dad and my uncle, they were always trying to be performers. You know, okay. It was always kind of
but
more,
it was more hot
comedy. Yeah,
it was more, comedy.
Yeah, it was more like, well, for us it was comedy. For them it was downright serious.
It wasn't Weird Al Yankovic.
No, it wasn't nothing like that. It was them trying to be serious,
right,
and that's what made it
off.
Funny,
yeah,
for us.
Right.
You know?
But still. You had the music in the house, so
yeah, there was music
it was
in the
like
house.
Some kind of influence.
There was always.
Do you remember
tunes
the first record
on.
You bought?
First record I bought was, I think, with my own money.
Yeah,
it was probably a Bad Company, Desolation Angels.
So like an album?
Yeah, it was an album. Oh, well, I used to always go to Jimco and get singles.
Sure.
You know, so really, I think Helter Skelter by the Beatles.
You got that 45?
I got the 45. I still have it.
Wow, what's the other side?
The other side is Gotta Get You Into My Life.
Okay.
I think that's the version I had anyway.
Wow. And this is the big hole. You had to have
the little, you know, adapter thing.
Yeah, my first records were the singles.
Oh, yeah.
They were only $1.99.
Yeah. My mom was a big disco queen. Yeah.
Huh?
My mom was a big disco queen, so always go to Jimco, always hit the record section, and, you know.
So you start getting singles, and then maybe one of your first albums is Bad Company.
It was
remember
a Bad
that.
Company.
That
know.
Had the guy from Free and the guy from Out the Hoopla.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's
the
not the first
too.
One I wanted, though, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
You know, the first album I kind of wanted probably was like Damn the Torpedoes by Tom Petty. But when I went down to the...
Oh,
to
yeah, the other heartbreak.
Right, yeah. And
the real one, the Florida
right.
one.
Right. And this is true. This was at... there was another drugstore called Clark's Drugs. Remember? So I went down to the Clark's Drugs to buy that Tom Petty record, save my money, and that's what I wanted, right? But they didn't have it. But I wasn't leaving there without something.
Okay.
So I pulled the Bad Company
record. It was like a silver...
It was kind of a
pack. Was it that?
No, this was Rock and Roll Fantasy, I think.
It was a little later.
It was a little bit later. It was actually when electronic drums were kind of introduced.
Oh, wow.
You know? So there was a lot of boom, boom, boom.
Sure, I remember there was a Bob Dylan album. Flying Robbie. And he's playing.
They had that.
What were they called? Simmons?
Yeah, the Simmons drums.
They're like kind of
octagonal.
Yeah, eight sided. And drummers told me that it was sort of like playing tabletops. They had no bounce.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Hard pad.
It's all, and you hear the click if you didn't hit it right.
Well,
you,
well speaking of playing, when did you first get the idea of playing?
That's, I guess, where Get Smart comes into play, you know? Because a typical story where your parents take off and you get dumped off at your older cousin's house. Grab this bike.
Care.
Yeah, grab this bike and we're going to my friend's house, right?
Econo child care.
Right, exactly. The pawn off child
care. That's kind of how I got into music, too.
Yeah. So we went to my cousin's friend's house.
Yeah.
And I guess the guy's mom worked for like Columbia House or some kind of distribution company back then.
The record clubs.
So
you gave him a dime, they gave
you
10 records.
Yeah, they gave you 10 records, but then you had to pay $20 and plus shipping, and after that, you got locked in. But since the guy's mother worked for him, he was getting all these records pre-release.
Ah.
So my cousin was always going there and,
he was hip.
And you know, cassette recording all these records before release. So I was kind of young, and while they were in there recording records, I was just in the living room watching Get Smart. Yeah, so when Get Smart finished and it turned into soap opera, I was like, I'm out of here. And started cruising around the guy's house, and there was a drum set in a room.
That's right, daytime TV soap opera.
Right, so, so I was like, I'm not watching this, man. You know, like, I like Get Smart, and that's it.
I'll tell you someone who's into that. Jay Maskus.
Oh, really?
I came in the studio to do, he asked me to do a track. And he's got all my children going while we're recording.
Wait, hold on a second, guys. I got to hear what's going on here, right?
He's like constantly. No, he had tapes of the shit.
Oh, really?
Constantly going.
That's the first time I met you, actually. It was Jay Maskus and the Fog in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is a little before it was still Dinosaur. But
okay.
Things are so pop. Anyway, so fuck this. You don't want to watch that. So
right.
Start looking around the
start
pad.
Start looking around the pad, you know, and you're hearing the music going off in the other room, you know, so... kind of looked at this drum set, you know, saw the sticks and just kind of tapped it.
Oh, cousin was a drummer.
The cousin's friend was a drummer.
Okay.
Or I guess the cousin's friend's brother, I don't know, you know, but they were in
they
the
were
recording.
In the pad.
Yeah. They were in the pad, and that's when I sat down and, you know, went back and asked, hey, you know, can I kind of try and play these things, you know, and kind of correlated the sounds to what I was hearing getting recorded in the other room. And that was kind of it for me, man.
Yeah. So you started on drums.
I started on drums, yeah.
I think if you can play drums, you can play anything.
You know,
it's the heart of everything.
It's the foundation.
And that's, what, I think, why they make fun of drummers.
That's completely it.
Yeah, so
great
much
jokes.
Power.
We're holding you up.
Put
you
them in the back,
us.
Say stupid.
Yeah, but you need us.
Totally. Especially rhythm music. I mean, you're in such denial. So, about how old were you?
That was probably about maybe I was 8 years old.
8 years old. So how long you do this?
8 years old.
Every time you go over, you
every
get
time
all
I,
the
you
drum
know, and
I
was
in the
there
other
for,
room recording.
I was there for another week, you know, for kind of a whole week.
Yeah.
So every other day we were rolling back to this guy's house because it was, you know, you buy a 10-pack cassette case. So my cousin kept on going back there, you know. I think it was like Cars, Candio, Zeppelin 4. I mean, he was recording all, like, the guy had a great record collection. I can only imagine if he still has it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, so I was always going back and, you know, hey, can I go back into the room and play, you know? And they just close the door and, you know, don't be too loud. And I was kind of just getting the hang of it and, you know, hearing the recorded music and, oh, well, that's what's making that sound and I'm always hearing it. So it kind of, you know, turned into pots and pans when I went home. No teacher, just pots and pans and the back of my dad's, you know, seat in the car, you know. So it seemed like this guy's got a little bit of rhythm. Like, so around 13... So it's 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get him, like, some drum lessons, and that kind of was what
started
the whole thing.
A kit.
That kit, you know, first it was practice pad.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, damn, what the hell is this shit, dude? Come on, man. Practice pad?
Move up from the pots and pans.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like what I'm hearing over there. That's just clack, 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 you know? But the kit kind of, I'm so mad at myself, too, because... I guess the drum teacher thought, hey, you know, this kid, he's one of the diamonds in the rough, if I do say so myself, you know.
Yeah.
So when I got the kit, I got this really nice little Red Sparkle Ludwig jazz kit.
Whoa.
You know?
In the bedroom or garage?
In my bedroom, you know, and it didn't have the bottom heads, you know. So
concert toms.
Yeah, concert toms. But it was a nice little drum kit, you know. And at that time, you know, Rush was kind of coming into full light, you know, and I wanted concert time. I wanted, like, So, you know, the drum teacher had this total crappy composite-type drum set that he was selling in his little garage studio. Dad, I want that one, man, you know. Because it's got
this Ludwig?
The little one with all the way to the big one.
Yeah,
man,
yeah,
and
it's, you know, coffee can, thimbles.
Yeah, my dad was cool, so he kind of inquired to the drum teacher. He's like, hey, how much is that kit, you know? Well, that's so-and-so money. Well, would you do a trade? And I remember sitting there hearing the drum teacher goes, you want to trade this for that? And, you know, my dad didn't know nothing. Yeah, he's right, like, well, that's what the kid wants, you know? And I just saw him shaking his head like,
okay, sure.
All right, I'll
bridge.
Yeah, sure, man. You know, I'll get the Ludwig and I'll give you the piece of crap. And sure, everybody's happy. Yeah, and I think
just playing the records, right?
And I'm just playing the records.
You're not playing the dudes yet.
I did the drum lessons with the guy.
Yeah, right.
And that's
right.
I kept on seeing that set going, sure. Oh, wow, I want to be able to play that. So it was like learning your rudiments and learning your drum beats and reading the charts and all that kind of stuff, you know. 6 weeks of that, and I don't want to do this. I just want to rock.
Yeah.
So it was a weekly lesson. You know, he gives you like 4 or 5 pages of that Mel Bay drum book, you know, and I wouldn't pay attention to it. I just go back home, put my headphones on, and rock to my records.
Records,
you know?
Right.
And then half hour before I had to go to drum lessons, oh shoot, I got this. So that's how it happened for me, you know. I crammed the last 10 minutes, and I was able to pull it off. And sometimes you'd get mad at me because I, you know, I was a bit not too sharp on that, but you know, but look what I could do here, you know. And so that's kind of how it started. And
when did you start playing with people? Like a band thing,
right?
Did you try it in school?
No, I didn't do it in school
because drumming in school bands is hard. Like one guy and maybe a backup.
Yeah, or you know, if you do that whole, I never did any school band stuff. You know.
Really hard because, you know, at least you can have 5 trombones and shit. Yeah. You can't really have 5 drummers,
right?
Though.
And I don't want to just play the
snare
drum.
Or the marching band.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to just play the snare drum and stuff. But I had another buddy of mine who, around 8th grade, started taking guitar lessons. You know, and he was actually pretty good, you know. Yeah. So, soccer buddy, sport buddy, you know.
AYSO,
completely. So he came over, you know, and that's when we would kind of start just messing around. You know,
so around copying songs,
songs, or you know, he had a couple of riffs that his guitar teacher taught him. So then I would try to just play along with him, and that was it. About 8th grade,
So after school, right?
After school,
start jamming.
Yeah. And that was pretty fun because we do it in my bedroom, since I had the, you know, the drum set was easier to come to the drums instead of going to, you know, there. So
set up, tear downs.
Yeah. My mom was kind of weary about it, but my dad was always cool about it. He's like, yeah, man, get loud.
You know, it was all right to be loud.
Yeah, it was all right to be loud. Cool. Yeah. He'd get complaints with the neighbor, you know, because when it went from the bedroom down into the garage, you know, the neighbors got a little bit worse. You know, he was
and did Jad, the bass man, come?
The bass man finally ended up coming, you know, but later, you know, later on. So it was usually just me and the guitar player.
Right. Here, I want to play something from the new I'm a Mess.
Yeah. I am.
Is that what you want to say about this tune? It's like autobiographical.
A little bit. You know, the song was written by our bass player, so I kind of used our bass player as the influence for the lyrics.
He's from England.
Yeah.
Okay, here, Freaks, brand new.
Control, made a soul with my soul. love to the sun, waiting for just someone to see me shining.
We'll be right back. what he did. And if it hurt me, well, that was just too bad. If it hurt me, it was just too bad. Let me kiss humanity in the cradle. Wanted everything and everything to cause pain to others. He's just a strange type, but I love him because he tells me to. That's what all of us should do and do, isn't it? My baby, he said he didn't care too much what he did. And if it hurt me, well, that was just too bad. If he hurt me, it was just too bad. If this humanity in the cradle wanted everything and everything to call pain, he's just a strange boy. But I love him because he tells me to. That's what all of us should do.
Good things are happening. It makes me stop and think that there you were, a wave of our hands, back to atoms. There's so much more we'll never know. This gift in kind, you're west, I'm south. Looser than it was, and what was monochrome is color now, because these words are shattered by.
Bus driver. Bus driver.
If the bus driver doesn't go to work, then nobody goes to work.
Then nobody works.
If the bus driver doesn't go to work, then nobody goes to work.
Then nobody goes to work.
Watch for Pedro Show. That was Freaks. I'm a Mess. Correction, bass man's Welsh.
Right.
And his name?
Tom Davies.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Davies. Penasco's Desfiladeros es otros sonos de fuga. It's a Portuguese ain't too good for me, but okay. The music is. Rudy OMM. They're from the north part, too. The tropic. Bells Ring Fire, brand new Evangelista. Might end up as part of the lost Geraldine Fibbers. Bassman wrote that, Bill Tupman. I saw play with John Wall.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Bob Lee, your drummer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, opened up for me and the Italian guys last year. Brand new Yurt. That's a Bushy in Dublin with Sajambach. I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah. Anyway. Sjambok. maybe it's Gaelic. Pudge with Garbage Fingers. Kyoka Danceable for Resonance Live 3. Sans Frontiers. Steve McKay and the Radon Ensemble. Lemon Kittens with Small Mercies. Harry Reeve. Clumsy Love. And finally, brand new GG Band. If the Bus Driver Doesn't Go to Work. Okay. Does this band ever get a name?
Back in the...
in the garage.
No.
Okay.
No.
Since the band never does gigs, it's just jamming.
Yeah, it was just jamming. This is
so when do you make your first band that does gigs and has a name?
That high school, you know. I was known as the kind of the drummer kid, you know. So just one day, the door knocks, you know, and there's another group of kids. I know this guy, but I don't know all these guys. These guys are older guys, you know. Yeah. And
We need a drummer.
You know. All right.
We hear
and they actually
drum.
Had all their stuff with them.
Oh, wow.
Come on in. Let's go upstairs.
Wow.
You know? And that was...
What were they called?
That was Virulence.
Virulence.
Which then turned into Fu Manchu.
Yeah, right.
So that was, you know, them knocking on the door. Mark Abshire was the bass player, and he was the one who I knew, you know. So he's the one who introduced me to all the other guys. And that day, I was like, oh, yeah, come on in, you know. And
they had done gigs and stuff.
We still haven't done gigs. Oh. It was just, a bunch of young punk rockers who wanted to start playing.
Yeah.
And I guess they had tried a couple other drummers, friends of mine as well from high school, you know. And they decided to give me an audition without me even really knowing. Showed up. We went up there and they just started playing. And it was, you know, a whole new different kind of... I was always into the, you know, the rock and roll, the classic rock and stuff, you know. So they're the ones who kind of started influencing me with, you know, Black Flag and all the kind of that 80s, you know, late 70s, 80s punk that was happening. And we were in Orange County, so there was a lot of good punk rock happening at that time. And that's when it started, you know. And then
what part?
This is South Orange County.
Like Santa Ana?
Even farther south than that. Like San Juan, Capistrano, Mission Viejo area.
There was bands down there?
There was some bands
down there. I know HB had the bands, and Fullerton had a scene.
Right.
Inland.
And we'd always go up there to see. Yeah, we'd always go up there to see all the stuff, you know. You know, that was even pre-my time, you know. That was pre...
I think Fullerton had some places, that pool place.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're influencing you with this new, which is a lot faster playing, right?
And then we had to come over here to Fenders to be able to see
shows. Long Beach.
Yeah, in Long Beach. And that was, like, scary. Being super young, you know.
Oh, yeah, and it's downtown.
Yeah, it was downtown. It was kind of the height of, like, there was
a
bunch of
skin
action going on, you know.
That's right.
But San Juan Capistrano, they had their own little...
The coach house,
theme.
I think, is still there.
It's still there, you know, but...
No, I just played with X there, with tables.
Yeah, and the tables have been there for forever, you know.
That car on the... I heard you could order those from the catalog, like Sears sold them.
That place is still completely active, you know. So, but our first gig ever was pretty crazy. We kind of befriended the guys from Blast.
Yeah.
You know?
San Jose or something, right?
Yeah, from Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
So our first gig ever was with them. Mentors were headlining.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was the Mentors, Agent Orange, Blast, and then Virulence, you know. And I was like, I think, 16 at the time, you know. So I had to convince my parents.
What was the pad?
It was somewhere in Santa Barbara.
Oh, wow.
I don't even remember what the place
was. Was it Gary Tovar's pad?
No, I don't think so.
El Casa de la Raza.
I think that was the place. Okay,
that's where Golden Voice started.
Oh, really? I never knew that.
You're part of that, because we played there with Black Flag.
Okay, I never, ever knew that. That's crazy.
That is crazy. So that was... They are. They're the ones who do cool...
Yeah, they're
Coach and Coachella.
They're huge now, man. You know, they're the ones who were doing all the Olympic shows and all the...
that's right. But they started there. Crazy. So you guys, that was a drive. That's over 100 miles.
Yeah.
From the first gig.
I had to convince my parents to let me go. I mean, I was only 16.
Yeah, still in high school.
I think Scott was the oldest guy. He was the 18-year-old, so he was the one responsible for
Scotty
all
Reader?
No, Scott Hill.
Oh, Scott Hill. Yeah, he was in the other guys. Caius?
Scott Reader was in Caius, yeah.
That's right. Yes. Memory. He's been on the show. Great cat.
Yeah. Sweetheart of a man.
Yeah, that's a man. We're at the end of the first hour. May 5th, 2016. Hold tight for hour two. May 5th, 2016. It's the second hour of Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
That's what I feel. And that's fresh. That's what I feel. When I did my face, it only lasts just 2 days. My pay is short, and that's a fact. Come Monday morning, you know I'm flat. We'll be right back.
from Pedro Show. Start of second hour with La Tumba, Brand New Freaks. Cliffs of Madness, Male Gaze, Baron Switfield and the Savages, Bread, and finally a kind of vetro with Quite Like Me, Brand New, out of Genoa, Italy, where pesto comes from, I found out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really bright green there, bitching.
Genoa's crazy town.
Sailor town, yeah. Port town.
Total cliff town.
Right, right. Yeah, right up on it.
Yeah.
Weather kind of like here, SoCal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, you're not doing drums. Bob Lee's doing drums and Freaks. So,
right.
When did you get into guitar?
Well, again, back in that eighth grade little jamming with a guitar player, you know, I mean.
He's leaving shit there?
For me, well, no, I mean, I've had a little, you know, I still have it, too. When I was five, I remember my grandmother bought my sister a classical acoustic guitar. Still
not
have
on string.
It. Yeah, not on string. Still have it. But, you know, that was always in the house. It was like the furniture in the house, you know. But when the guy would be playing guitar, I'd have to sit there and look at his fingers to know when the changes were happening and be able to, you know, hit that cymbal and, you know,
sure,
keep your time
parts.
And your tempo and your time.
Right, right, right.
So when he'd split, I'd go, well, he kind of put his fingers right here, you know. So I'm a little bit self-taught, I guess.
Yeah.
Guitar. And through all these years playing drums, you know, and behind the scenes playing guitar, you know, and you know what they say. Like I said, there's always drummer jokes, all that kind of. Nobody wants to play the drummer songs.
I know. Look at Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
Incredible
so,
drummer.
Yeah.
I don't want to play.
Yeah. So, you know, you have this little buildup of stuff, and you want to do your, you know, submit some of your, the things that you're working on, and it's too hard to kind of, to,
teach
you know,
a song on
teach
drums.
Teach a song when
yeah.
you're on drums. You don't have something. So that's, I think, just the general play, you know?
Oh, because you were getting into composing, right?
I started, you know, started kind of writing some. Then, you know, the recording part of the digital age, you know?
Yeah.
The multi-tracking,
yeah,
you know, the
yeah.
cast cams and the port-a-fours, all that kind of stuff.
Sound
you know?
On sound.
All of a sudden, you know, you're like, well, I could do this at home by myself.
And do all the parts.
You know? And then that way I can, you know, maybe submit
show
it to
the
guys.
Cats.
And, you know,
but still, realize your
right.
idea.
So, but still, you know, the drummers, it just it never takes.
Hilarious.
So,
you know, you see me, I put my drummers at the front of the stage.
Yeah.
Now. We should have done that with George Hurley.
Yeah,
yeah. Incredible.
Know, yeah. But that was kind of the thing, you know, just also to give myself a new challenge.
Yeah.
You know, kind of refresh, you know.
It's still music.
Reset.
Yeah.
It's still music. You're still in there.
When did you first start playing in front of people on guitar?
Oh, that was the scariest thing ever, you
yeah.
know? Because, like I said, self-taught, so I don't know an A chord from a D chord. I just know where fingers go.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? Hey, let's do this in E, you know? What's E,
rhythms.
You know? So, we were in Spain.
You don't have to know how a car, carburetor, right? You
right.
put it in D and point
yeah, yeah, and there you go.
The pedal.
Boom, and it goes, boom. Nebula,
yeah.
we,
yeah.
you know, because Eddie was a drummer. Same story. Drummer turned guitar player.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He was playing drums in all of Long.
Grand Hart.
And, you
There's
know, Fu Manchu, they were it. Trying to kick me out of Fu Manchu. They were trying to get Eddie to play drums in Fu Manchu. So
what
Eddie came
drama?
Out. Girlfriend issues.
Okay.
So, you know, Eddie shows up at one of our shows, and afterwards, you know, he goes, you guys don't need a drummer. You need another guitar player. Because, you know, you're just a three-piece playing chords.
Yeah.
He's like, you guys need another guitar player. Throw some leads in there, you know? And that's kind of how that happened. So then, you know, years later, we're doing Nebula, and we're in Spain, and everyone's a little, you know, kind of
Borracho.
Three sheets and borracho, you know? In fact, those are the first words I ever heard you say, muchas drogas. So, you know, we were going to go do an encore, and that's one, you know, rehearsal before that, we were just messing around. So he's like, hey, let's do that jam that we were messing around with. And I was not prepared whatsoever, you know. Like, okay. So Spain and Madrid at
yeah.
El Sol Club.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
All of a sudden I got a guitar in my hand and Eddie's on drums and let's jam. So that was it, you know. And it didn't really
wow.
go off too well, in my opinion. But,
well,
you know,
you
I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything, so the crowd didn't know anything. Right, that's the trick, right?
Right, right. Work the roof.
Yeah.
What about this tune here?
Jonathan.
Does your Uncle Jack actually have a truck?
Jonathan's Uncle
oh,
Jack.
Oh, Jonathan's Uncle Jack.
Jonathan's Uncle Jack actually had a truck, and I guess it is a little bit of a history tale from his days with his brother.
Square. The master moves to the blind square. Thank you. out generations of foxes. Many turn out over the years to bring the pink and brown, returning even champions, joining the stream of new ones. Who brings life to the vixens, the remarkable skaters, sportswomen who thrill and flash, the show team, the go team, proven to the championship, hungry for victory thereafter. Let's get out and derby again. Wave our fur-trimmed banner, the vixen fighting machine. Never give up until the end, but fight to take the lead yet. Fantastic jammers travel far, as Dairyland dials to vixen's jammers, always scoring the points. We are a thrill and we know it. You have to be good to skate against us. A vixen will never go down easy. Always throwing down for the pink and brown. Vixens will always be around.
I woke up this morning and my mind was racked with pain. My bed is set of railroad tracks and I'm fresh hit by a train. Should I even get up? Or should I just remain sprawled out on these cold hard tracks, never to rise again? But I strain and I pull. From a tree, and we kept that all our lives, and we still keep it in tow, and we keep it in the lonesome low, lonesome low, lonesome low, that keeps us 10 times low. We keep it in the low, lonesome low, that is a low world. Don't make sense, so I keep it in the lonesome low, lonesome low, lonesome low, that keeps it 10 times low. I keep it in the low, the lonesome low, that is the low word, the low, lonesome low. She didn't know about that alone and lonesome low. Lonesome low, lonesome low, that keeps you 10 times low. Keep it low and lonesome low, that is low. Let it go.
Okay, well, Peter, so that was Uncle Jack's track. You, Jonathan, we'll repeat it thousands of times if you need, but... No, we don't have to.
Yeah, right.
And then Richard James, Industrial Wool, Red Square, Blue Square, The Foreign Language, Roman Orgy, Parts 1, 2, 3, Reverent Circle, Joe Brewer with Derby again, that's Jack Brewer's cousin.
Yeah.
Ivan Madison doing poetry, and finally Al Scorch, Lonesome Low, he was on the show last week. Man with a banjo.
Crazy.
Yeah. Chi-Town. So, okay, that big Madrid premier guitar.
Right.
What do you say? Virtuoso performance.
Yeah, right. You know, you're in the middle of it all. You're just going, what the hell am I doing here, man? What am I getting, you know? So, you know, sound checks, bass was always easier, you know, because you just do the walk. So we'd always kind of, you know, on sound checks, you know, I'd pick up the bass and kind of jam down, you know, with and Eddie would play drums and we'd mess around. But when it was guitar, it was like, I can do it, but all of a sudden, deer in headlights, freeze.
Yeah, yeah.
But we pulled it off, and it came off all right, you know, and...
What, in your mind, you're thinking, man, I'm going to get in the band where I'm the guitar.
No. Not yet. I was thinking, like, how the hell do you guys do this, man?
Oh, okay.
Like, drums are so easy because it's like you're just dancing with the drums, you know, and... guitar is like, God, you got to be so technical and, you know, exact with your chords and all that kind of stuff. So I was a little bit sketched after the fact, thinking, I just blew a Spain. But like I said, afterwards, the party continued, you know, because Kike, do you remember that guy Kike from the Pleasure Fuckers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was there, so the party was going on, you know. So that was the first actual time I put that guitar with the a crowd of people and, you know, hearing it kind of pump through the monitors and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, I had a great time. It was fun.
So, the Freaks ain't that old of a band.
No, no.
And how'd that come together?
You know, like I said, I would come home from tours with Nebula and pick up a guitar and, you know, write my own little things and record my stuff, you know. Then things got really dark in the band, and it was like, you know,
some
drama, and it was like, I gotta kind of take off here, you know, and
pull the ripcord.
As far as anyone being able to properly pull the ripcord, I think I'm the only one who can do that right now. So guys, keep on going. I'm gonna jump ship, you know. I did start writing for Nebula, you know, and some songs did kind of start coming out on some of the later records, and I think there was even one time during all the drama that Eddie even said, like, well, you're going to jump ship? You know, I think that was like, well, you know, I guess I really can if I have to, if things get any worse than what they're getting.
Yeah.
Health-wise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's the one who actually gave me the idea. I'm like, well, why not? You know? And at that point, it was just me doing the multi-tracking.
Right.
You know?
Man alone.
Sitting on the toilet, reading John Sinclair book. And, you know, always talking about, you know, hey, all you freaks.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Reading.
Well, that was a big word in the 60s.
Yeah, you know.
It meant somebody wasn't with the squares.
Yeah. And then also reading, you know, this book called Ringo Levio, which is, God, what was the name of the dude? I can't remember his name. Ah, damn it. But he was like a 60s modern day Robin Hood, you know. And his whole thing was, it's free because it's yours.
Steal this book.
So
Abbie Hoffman.
Yeah, Abbie Hoffman actually, in the book, the guy's saying, like, Abbie Hoffman stole all my papers and he's stealing my ideas. So he hated Abbie Hoffman because he's Skyping his thing, but he's the one who's trying to go public with it. And, you know, because the whole deal about Abbie Hoffman and what this other guy was doing, being anonymous. Never knowing. That way you could continue to do it.
Off the grid.
So the guy would steal meat trucks and go through the neighborhoods and give people meat and all that kind of stuff. You know? Sure. Great book, you know. I'll look up his name and I'll remember
that. That's where you got the name for the band.
So that's where I got the name for the band, you know. Because I was out of Nebula. I was free to be, you know. It was free because it was mine, you know. And here I'm reading a John Sinclair book about all you freaks. I guess that's it, man. Then I wiped my ass, and it was all done.
Beginning. It was the end and the beginning.
Right. It was the flush to start the new. A new bowl of water in there.
Yeah, you know? We're at the end of the second hour, May 5, 2016, 2016. Hold tight for hour three. May 5th, 2016, it's third hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
foolish enough to destroy themselves completely.
For Pedro Show, started the third hour off with Brand New Freaks, The Space Bar.
Yeah.
What about that tune?
Instrumental, kind of jazzy tune, you know. I had a great Christmas one year, and my mom, my loving mom, you know, gave me a Casio keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, hey, it's a musical instrument, I give it to my son, he's the musician in the family.
Yeah, right.
So, messing around with just all the kind of crazy sound banks on a Casio, you know, the vibes, you know.
Sure.
So, that's how that song kind of came around, just messing around with the Casio and trying to get groovy, you know, little instrumental and stuff, you know, more cocktail-y, loungy stuff. But, and then it just kind of stuck, and then, you know, submitted it to the other guys, and they were like, you know what, it was a filler.
And James Brown could have those on his records by the label.
Yeah.
He'd play the organ or something.
Yeah, so, but it stuck, you know, it's just catchy little groovy.
Remember,
in between you get your cocktail ready.
Yeah, I covered one of those tunes. It's trippy. Jim Brown song without any singing. It's okay, Basho with Earphone, Rev 9 from Bucky Pope. Yeah, Bucky from, he's got a new one, Negative Example or something. It was in Tar Babies, Madison. Rabbits in a Hurry, Super Pitcher, best band name ever, Entertainment Law. With Diablo Canyon Plant, finally Broken Oak duet with Susan the Night Porter. So, speaking of the guys, how'd you get the guys for the Freaks?
You know, I had a whole other live unit prior to these guys, you know, because I did all that stuff, multi-tracking, did it all, you know, and then then I started, you know, kind of passing around files, and then we put out this record. It was kind of like the experimental thing, you know.
Sure.
But then when Cargo Germany put it out, they're like, well, can you tour on it? So I had to find some players. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, went through all the friends that I've made through my travels and stuff. And I had two guys from San Francisco, a guy from San Diego, a guy from Seattle. So we did a couple of tours with it, but it just got too expensive trying to
get everybody together.
And everybody had other projects as well.
Sure.
So
coordinating was hard.
The fizzle kind of happened pretty quick. And that's when I was like, you know what, if I'm going to keep on doing this, I got to think more locally.
Yeah.
You know? And so, again, just kind of jogging through, you know, hitting rewind on the memory banks. Hey, Jonathan Hall, man. You know, I was always wanted to be in a band with that guy.
Yeah.
You know? And, well, Tom's in L.A., you know? He was playing bass in Nebula. And so, another band that we kind of used to share a space with, Esteban, he was in another band that we shared a rehearsal space with. And so, I was trying to get him into the Nebula play, but Eddie never wanted that to happen for some reason.
Yeah.
So, I just asked.
Okay,
Bob Lee? Available? Bob Lee came after because I had another friend playing drums who was a Boston transplant. So when he came into L.A., Hari Hassan, I was like, Hari, man, you're coming to L.A.? Cool, I got a project. Let's start it. And he ended up having some other issues happen to where he couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when Jonathan brought in Bob.
Right, because of the backbiter.
Yeah, because of the backbiter and all that kind of stuff. So it worked out perfect, you know, because the perfect timing, Bob was available to be able to do it, and he was kind of into the project, saw that it was a do-it-yourself type thing that was kind of starting to pick up a little bit of some steam. And so that's how we got Bob.
This record here, much different than the other one because it was more of a group.
Yes. Yeah. The other one already kind of had tunes that were done, and now I just needed the players to go and record them.
Yeah.
This one was, now that we're all together as a unit, you know, I have my songs or my parts I brought in. Jonathan has his parts. Tom has his parts.
Right,
and we kind of did kind of, you know, mesh together as a full unit. So it's I think, is why I really do dig this new record that's coming out, because it is a bit more.
What about this? We're going to play Where Did You Go?
Where Did You Go? That was me trying to. That was one of my tunes. I'll take credit for writing that one. you know, thinking about some ZZ Top, thinking about, you know, and when that first live unit of the Freaks kind of disbanded, we were doing a lot of just improv because we didn't have enough tunes or enough rehearsal time to really get a full set. So we were doing a lot of just jamming, and it turned into a lot of bluesy stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that song kind of came into being.
Okay.
And it never really surfaced with those other guys, but I still had it on the pot.
Simmering. You know? Stovetop.
So it was in a crock pot there. Slowly brewing, right? And, you know, it's one of those blues tunes that's so just simple, if you will, you know, and it's in its origin.
Yeah.
So when we were kind of writing the songs and for this record, that one was always like, well, we'll get back to that one. We'll get back to that one, you know. So when we went into the studio, it was like, well, now's the time to get back to that one, guys. You know, so it was a little bit of an improvisational with, you know, just a little bit of a background foundation. So when we
wasn't
went
really
into it,
played to death.
It wasn't really played to death. So it was
logged.
Kind of, yeah. And it's, you know, kind of nice because I think it's turned out to be such the oddball on the record.
Sure.
That it's becoming everybody's favorite. You know, Jonathan was like, yeah, we got to start playing that one live because I'm starting to really like that one.
Right.
He feels it's a little bit more of an Alice Cooper type of flavor, you know. And, you know, I'm like, well, I kind of was thinking about a ZZ Top kind of flavor, you know. And then Esteban comes in with all his little piano bits where it's like, wow, man. So that's how that song kind of came into being. And, you know.
Let's hear it.
Show me. of your life. Unhappy, but you always smile. And you know, baby, I always went the extra mile. Could have said something sooner, but now we're both in this bind. For fuck's sake, darling, I can't read your mind.
Pedro Show. Where'd you go from Freaks? Spanish Streets from Tokyo Savannah. Although they're Brazilians.
I love the Brazilians.
I think Sao Paulo. Regulus Rising, Feast of Trumpets, Labor Camp. That's Kurt from Nip Drivers.
Right.
His thing with Paul Rossler, helping him. Big Crux, Wiry. I think they're out of Seattle or Portland. Dr. Amazon. He's out of Portland. Intrigue Duck, Art Trip, The Static Sound, Forever, brand new from them. And finally, Mario DeSandro with the Goodbye Door. So, what we were off air, we were talking about why you enjoy playing with this version of the Freaks.
Oh, yeah. It's a great bunch of guys. I mean, it's easy to work with them. You know, I mean, we've all had issues with drama, you know, in bands.
Sure.
And, you know, you hear about the ego trips, you know, I hope they don't think that I'm going to be the big egomaniac here, you know, but I don't think I am. We share kind of a cool little bond, I guess, that, okay, whatever, you know.
But like loose, tolerant.
Yeah, we're all loose and tolerant, you know. All nice guys. We're the nice guys who are finishing first.
When does the record go? Yeah. This is good. I like that. Which is, because, yeah, some people think the only way is to, like, stomp dudes around you.
Yeah. You know?
It's little kid shit.
Yeah. And, you know, you might get out in front for a bit, but it's short lived. It's not, you know, there's no longevity with that.
I agree.
You know?
So when's the album come out?
Well, we got it mastered, and we got some artwork that's getting prepared for it. We do have a label that's interested that we're talking to. I mean, we've been a do-it-yourself band, you know.
Sure.
Funds is always an issue.
Sure.
So we found this little label, and I don't really want to say yet because it's not concrete.
Sure.
But
is there a tour plan?
We're hoping, you know, I mean, the label kind of has their own booking agency. Oh, it's all kind of, you know, combined. So we're looking for some future work. I mean, I'm hungry as hell to get back out on that road.
Yeah, right.
It's been several years since I've actually done a good extended tour, you know.
And tour
this,
mode.
Yeah. And with this record, I'm hoping that we can finally you know, kind of hit it.
Advice.
Okay.
Like, you met you in your younger years.
Yes.
And, hey, Ruben, what can you tell me about music?
Man, it's tough. But it's, you know, It's tough, but it's, you can't shake it. You know, so don't try to shake it. You know?
It's great advice.
Yeah, because...
like if you're bit, you're bit.
Yeah. it's true, man. You know, once it gets into the mainstream, sure. You know, the main line, then, you know, there's no turning back, right? Just like
the
two.
First two.
Perseverance, you know, is the other thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I get disappointed all the time with, you know, when things fall through, whatever, and you get those, oh, damn it, man, it sucks, you know?
Yeah, but like a skateboard,
then,
yeah, you get back
on. You get back on it, you know, on the horse, and, you know, here we are on the verge of another record. Yeah. So, you know, even though things might look bad here or things might look great over there, you know, like, we got one tune on the record. It's just to keep on moving, man. Fine, keep moving forward. You know?
John Fogerty wrote a thing to me.
Yeah.
When D. Boone got killed, it said, keep on keeping on.
Yeah. And it's so true, man. I mean, I say that all the time. You know?
That's great advice.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for being on
the
show.
Totally, man.
And the best of luck when the record comes out. You start playing. Well, we got to play again together.
Yeah, we got to. I mean, we're actually playing, if you don't mind me doing a quick plug.
Where?
At the Federal Underground in downtown Long Beach.
Okay.
You know?
When?
That's going to be on May 26th.
Coming up, people.
Yeah.
It's been May 5th, 2016 edition of Wild for Pedro show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.
And keep on keeping on.